So you guys get the new Toyota Corolla that's here for the third time? No, I'm just in. Oh, are you? Oh, no, Bill. I met Bill. Who are you pointing at? Oh, that young man next to you. Oh, hello, young man. God bless you. Hallelujah. Good to have you here. Amen. Amen. Well, now we have two people here. Can't give away the car. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're glad you guys are here. So wonderful to have you with us. They'll give you some information to fill it out. Drop it in the offering container. Stop by the media center and get a free CD of the morning message. Amen. Glad that you are here with us. Let's prepare our offering this morning and giving. And the other great thing when it comes to giving, people think about, again, next Sunday on after service, if you're new to the church and you're interested, want to get involved, we'd love to have you join us for a little barbecue afterwards, and just to share with you about the ministries here, and to get and introduce you to a few of our leaders, and allow you to ask questions and figure out how to plug in. Ministry happens; it's a body. Church is a body. It's where everybody is knit together and we function. Amen. God gives us gifts and then he sets us in a body and then we function together. And out of that, we're able to do a multiplicity of things. I'm glad that I can't scratch my back with my big toe. That would be kind of weird. And so I'm glad my hand can get there. I'm glad I can do other things. But, you know, so we need each part to do its part. Amen. And your body to function. The body of Christ works that way. So we are so thankful that you're here. We'd love to have you plug in and get involved. So we have started this year our Connect services, and we'd love to have you be there. And then next Sunday, we'll have some more of these out, some more invite cards. I want to encourage you to pray about inviting a friend, an unsaved loved one, to Easter service. Let's believe God. I believe with all my heart, as I just said a minute ago, that there is an anointing. If you invite them, they will come. Amen. And they'll accept the Lord. So let's believe God for our friends to be saved. And we'll have some more invite cards out that you can take and share with your friends. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 2. And as I said this morning, coming up to Easter, and with this being the approach of Good Friday, and I think about that, when you think about Good Friday, we call it Good Friday, but when you think about it, it was his triumphant entry that led to his victorious death. So Jesus had a triumphant entry, and people were celebrating all over that, but he knew that he was 1 week away from giving his life as the Passover lamb for us. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11, in him, everybody say in him. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him up from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Amen. How many know that you are forgiven? Now let me say this, you are forgiven before you accept his forgiveness. You're not receiving him and being forgiven. You are already forgiven. When Jesus died, he forgave the sins of the world. Before you were born and committed a sin, you were forgiven. God made provision for our sins. Amen. My Bible tells me that he was even slain before the foundation of the world. World before Adam and Eve were created, before the original transgression, God made a way of redemption. Amen. So, watch this with me. And so, you having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 11, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross. And I love what Sean was saying this morning about Leviticus. And while I was doing that, I had these two things. The law shows us two things. When you read the law, it'll show you two things. It shows you, one, that there's no way for you to be holy before God. Just try. Just read some of that and say, okay, you know what? Because God said, hey, if you could do this, I don't have to send my son. And so you try to just do a few of those and you couldn't do that. And so to keep right, how many would just like try to get your brain under control for a day? An hour before you get out of here. Amen. So that'd be awesome. But it shows me that there is no way, the inadequacy of myself to live in any way holy on my own. And the second thing it showed me is that I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I need help. Amen? And so he said that everything that was against us, that he takes and he nails it to the cross. So if this was your life and this was everything against you and it's recorded, it means that when Jesus went to the cross, that between his hand and that cross, whatever the debt was, whatever your sin debt was, it was nailed to his cross. And at that moment, it was paid in full. There's no residual. There's no leftover. There's not going to be a balloon payment at the end. Amen? It was paid in full. Matthew 20, verse 28, if you want to write that down, I want you to think about me, but it says that Jesus came and the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. How many know that if you were kidnapped and you were being held for a ransom, they're not asking you to write the check? Somebody else is going to come and pay the ransom for you so that you can go free. Amen? So that you can go free. And so Jesus came and paid the price for our freedom. So he nailed it to the cross. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. On the cross was a public display of the defeat of the enemy of your soul and my soul. When I look to the cross, it is a powerful thing. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or of Sabbath. Let me just go back to food and drink. That doesn't mean that you get to be unsaved. That doesn't mean that means I still get to live a carnal, fleshly life. That isn't what that means. Amen? Thought I'd throw that in this morning. Verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but Christ is the substance. Father, I pray in these next few moments, God, that by your Spirit you will so invade this building, Father, that you will sweep across every one of our hearts. Father, let our hearts and our lives be open. Lord, some of us have heard messages preached. We've heard the Bible from cover to cover be preached. We've heard thousands of messages, but Father, let our ears be open to hear as if we're hearing the very first time the truth of the reality of the victory that is ours through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the power and the magnitude and the glory of the cross. Father, let us be changed today as if we were just being saved brand new. And Father, if there's those here who have hesitated, who have held back, Lord, let today be the day that truth penetrates the darkness, that truth reaches to the need of their life, that they say, yeah, and God, that you break through in their hearts and in their lives with your love in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you want to follow in your outline, you can. I'm going to go quick because I want to get to the end this morning. The Apostle Paul had only one message of simplicity and truth, and it was the cross of Christ. His gospel, if you would, his gospel was this, is that the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, if we read it, Paul comes to the conclusion. He says, hey, when I came to you, I did not come with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come to you in any way, but in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. I came and I know only one thing. I came declaring one thing. Jesus Christ, him crucified. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Crucified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul goes through the same thing. And he said, this is my gospel that I preach to you. And you were saved by this gospel, that Jesus came, he died, and he was raised again by the Father, that he was seen by a few, and then he was seen by over 500. And then lastly, he was seen by me as one born out of due time to declare and proclaim this message. So I want you to hear it today. Paul says, others may come to you, he told the Galatians, with a different gospel, but this is mine. Like the Apostle Paul, I am ever aware of one undeniable fact and truth. I need a Savior. I identified with Sean when he was saying that this week I have had thought. This week I have looked at things. This week I have touched some things. It's impossible to go through a week and every moment of every day I realize I need a Savior. when I'm with my Jewish friends, and we have Sergeant Major Elliot here, and I'm talking to him, and I think about God with the Jewish people and delivering them, and you see them struggling and trying to work and try to live life for God, and God continually showing grace after grace and mercy after mercy. And the psalmist writing, God, I'm thankful your mercies are new every morning. And you realize, you just wake up, God, I need some mercy today. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness in my life today. And but when I understand that God knows our weaknesses, he knows our frailty, that's why he sent his son. I don't have to work this out on my own. I don't have to live under condemnation because I am failing, because I am making mistakes. His grace is our sufficiency. Somebody ought to say amen. The enemy wants to say, hey, look at you, you're failing. I know I'm failing, but I'm not asked to make it right. Because when I looked at the cross, if I could have got it right, he wouldn't have had to go there. But because he went there, he empowers me to live. Amen? Amen? And to overcome. So I need daily the renewable power of his grace in my life. I need to be anchored and fixed to the only source that can save my soul, deliver me from every oppressive thought and behavior, every injury and abuse or lie or injustice, from every emotional trap that causes me to enslave myself in the trappings of self-justification and pity. Today, I'm not here to appeal to your thought process or to cause you to consider, ponder, or debate what might or might not be. Today, I am here to preach and to proclaim the power of the cross. Today, I'm not concerned so much if you follow this outline, read along, or turn in your Bible. You can if you want to. Today, for the next few minutes, I'm after every heart and life that is in this room, as if it were the last chance you would ever have to hear the gospel again. Sometimes we don't think about it like that. Everybody thinks, well, you know, I'll listen to that. That's good. And you're working it out. But how do you know tomorrow you won't have a suddenly? How do you know today there won't be a suddenly? How do you know tomorrow won't be your 9/11? How many know tomorrow won't be your day at Fort Hood when somebody goes postal on you? How do you know tomorrow won't be the day that you're the car on the side of the road and the tow truck is showing up and the ambulance? How many know that your next breath won't be your last breath? You don't have no guarantee, so you have to live like this is the moment. This is the moment. This is the time. This is where I'm at. When Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, be sober and be vigilant. Live aware of the time. Redeem the time that you are in. Don't be slack in it, but redeem and take every opportunity you have to wisely use the time that you are in. Hear me this morning. Too many foolishly take this too lightly. Too many are waiting for the right time when they are ready and when all is as they desire it to be. They say there will always be another day. Yet every day the papers are filled with the obituaries of those who have unexpectedly departed from this life and entered into eternity. Some we know, some we could have reached, and all know without it, and all are now without a chance to respond to the gospel. It was a suddenly in their life. I guarantee when you take your last breath, it will be a suddenly. Every now and then you hear somebody that's walked with the Lord. Okay, Elijah said, hey, my time and my departure is at hand. But even Elijah said to Elijah, hey, I know today the Lord is coming, but I have no idea when it is. I mean, even in that case, when you get a personal rapture, I kind of like that. People say, well, no, they made up that rapture stuff. Yeah, we got it from Enoch and Elijah. People living alive, walking with God, being sucked up to heaven. God has a Holy Ghost vacuum. He can suck up anybody anytime. You're gone. But Elijah said to Elisha, hey, the Lord, today, the Lord is taking me. Today, and the prophets around him, hey, today, don't you know your master's going to be taken? But Elijah says, hey, it's coming, but I don't know when, and it's going to show up suddenly. And so if you are with me when it happens. And Elisha had opportunity. Well, you know, I could stay here. And Elijah tried to dissuade him, wait here at Gilgal, wait here at Beth. He said, I ain't leaving you. I don't know when the suddenly's coming, and I'm not going to miss my chance. And we have to live that way with God. You have to live connected. We think, well, I'm just casual. I just go about it. I get caught up with my life. And then you miss your suddenly. You missed that answer. You missed that opportunity, and it's gone, and you cannot get it back. I have asked God today for His anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost to fall upon every life. Though you may have heard this message 1,000 times before, may it ring as clear in your ears today and in your heart as it did the first time. Too many Christians in the world today have lost the zeal and the passion of their first love. In our lives as believers, if you're here today and you've been saved more than 3 minutes, you have to be careful that you hold on to your passion for the cross. That you understand, wait a minute, I'm saved because He died. I'm not saved because there was anything good in me. I'm not saved because now I'm some sanctified, holy, righteous, redeemable thing. All my righteousness was this filthy rag, but yet in me He saw something redeemable. He saw something that He loved. He saw something that He didn't want to bear. And so He endured that I could be saved. And I have to stay humble. I have to stay broken. I have to stay thankful. Somebody ought to shout amen. I have to be willing to live at the foot of the cross. We need to hear again the word of the Lord to the churches in Asia and preserve what is good, endure temptation, test and persecution. It addresses things that He finds against us and be zealous to repent. Listen to what He said. He who overcomes to every church and all the myriad of circumstances that were there, to them that overcome is the one who receives a promise. Maybe you're here today and you have considered the gospel with your mind, but you have never heard it with your heart. People do that. We listen with our mind, but not with the heart. The moment you open your heart, something amazing happens. I'm asking God to pierce the darkness that has surrounded your life with the glory of the marvelous light of the gospel of Christ. How many would get mad if you knew somebody was holding you back from something that belonged to you? Amen. Go with me in your Bibles. I know I didn't tell you. I told you, you can go if you want. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Watch it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen to that. Well, you just listen. Don't just listen. I'll tell you, there's somebody whose whole goal is to keep everything God has away from you. His whole goal is to keep you clouded, to keep you discouraged, to keep you disillusioned, to keep you blinded to the truth. Listen to this. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The God of this age, His goal is to blind your heart and your mind, to keep you blind, to keep you wanting to understand, keep you wanting to figure it out. But God never speaks to your mind. He speaks to your heart. And that's why people go through a turmoil, because they're trying to figure God out with their heart. And God keeps with their mind, and God keeps piercing their heart with the truth of His word, and they're in this quandary. Oh, my heart, but my head, and my heart, and my head. And you're like, but somewhere you just go, hey, forget my head, say yes with my heart, and God breaks through, and the cloud goes, and the darkness lifts, and the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the face of His face shines in yours, and you go, hey, that's what I was looking for. Who cares if I understand it? I believe it with all my heart. Amen? So watch this. So then today, I'm preaching for a decision. Some of us need to make another decision. In every life concerning the cross. It's my prayer that everyone in the sound of my voice come to know today the power of the cross in their life. See, today I've watched something that's interesting. Everybody likes to teach because teaching appeals to reasoning, to understand. Well, I feel like I'm called to be a teacher of the word. I had guys that were ministry friends of mine, and they were great preachers, and they would come and they would preach, and they had an anointing for the altar and to bring people to a decision to accept Christ as their Savior, to receive Him as their healer, their redeemer. And then all of a sudden they decided they wanted to be teachers, and they come and they can teach and appeal to their mind. And everybody goes, oh, that's nice. And we end up like Paul at Athens, and people go, oh, that's marvelous. I think I'll come hear that again. Oh, yeah. But preaching brings you to a decision. When the word of God is preached, It brings you to a place where you have to decide, what will I do with that? I either have to say yes or I have to say no. Today you are going to leave this building with a yes or a no in your heart. And that yes or that no seals you in your position with God. And so preaching is to bring people to the point of making a decision. God chose that through the foolishness of preaching that men would be saved, that you would say yes to God, that whether you understand the cross or not, you know that that is the truth, and you say yes to truth whether it agrees with your understanding or not, and it changes your life. That's how people are saved. But teaching, then after that, we need teaching. Teaching brings me to maturity, and we've got on a kick that the church is ever trying to mature. And we just want teaching and teaching and teaching, because the more I listen to teaching, I can convince myself that I'm growing. But teaching without a decision leads to a deception, because it leaves me thinking that I'm growing. But if I'm learning and doing nothing, I shared it with the men in discipleship. The church has become today like people going to law school or to medical school, and they learn everything about anatomy. They learn about the law. They could pass the test. They could pass the bar. They could get a medical license to practice, but they never practice. We just keep learning. Just not, well, I'm a doctor. Well, do you have any patients? No, but I'm still studying, glory to God. I have a law degree. Do you have an office? No, but I have a degree, glory to God. And I'm going to more to get more degrees, and I'm going to go to more conferences and more classes, and I'm growing. Why? Because somewhere you need to use that. You meet somebody with 7 PhDs, it just means you have a temperature. It doesn't mean you know anything. I got 7 degrees. Good, you're running a little hot. How many know what I'm saying? But somewhere I make a decision. Preaching brings, but what will you do? The Bible says, what will you do with this Jesus? And we need teaching. We need to grow. We need to be mature. I need to know how. But sometimes I just need to go out. Hey, let me tell you, I was lost and I met a man who went to Calvary for me. And now I'm saved. I was lost and now I'm found. How'd that happen? I don't know. His name is Jesus. That's all I need to know. Amen? It is powerful. The power of the cross is what we're after. Think about it. Maybe we're so moved and set free by the power of the cross that we would move from this place today changed by the glory of God. The glory of God is more than a cloud and an emotional experience for believers to soak in. People today want glory, 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 glory. I want to get in the glory. Well, it's not a bath. It's not that kind of experience. The glory of God changes you. When Moses said, God, I want to see you, he said, you can't, but I'll let you see the back edge of my glory. And when Moses came out of the glory of God, he was so changed that it radiated upon his life. Somebody ought to say amen. Hear me this morning. The power of the cross is the same today. There is saving, healing, delivering, restoring, and renewing power in the cross. Isaiah 53 boldly declares this, that every wound, every bruise, and every stripe that Jesus bore was so that he might vicariously take upon himself something done or endured. Vicarious means that that is something done or endured as a substitute for somebody else. His vicarious self. When he went there, he had no need in himself. Come here, Matt. Come here. This is Matt, and this is his sin, this is his yoke, this is his way, this is all of his shame, this is everything. And he's there, and there's no way he can do that. And Jesus come in Matthew 8:17 said that he himself took and bore our infirmity. So everything that Matt had, every weakness, every failure, every disgrace, every hurt, every shame, Jesus said, hey, let me take that for you. I will carry that for you. Now you are completely free. You are released from it. And Jesus says, hey, I will take it and I will put it on and I will carry it to my cross and I will be nailed here. And when I'm nailed here, not only does it go off of you, but it falls off of me. And once it's off of me, you are free, and you are free indeed. Yeah. Hear me this morning. Every pain, every failure, every rejection, every abuse, every abandonment, every injustice, every prejudice, every handicap, every insecurity, every addiction, every abortion, every disease, every lie, and every failure of our life was removed from us through the power of the cross. Along with every other act of sin and immorality committed by us and upon all of humanity, was nailed to his cross. The devil is the great reminder. The devil keeps track. He was the instigator. And he comes back and he says, hey, remember? Remember? And you need to say, yeah, I remember. I also remember that you were defeated. I also remember that your power has been broken on my, and I'm not picking that back up again. I mean, if there was something like a virus or an infection, let's say if cancer was something that you could drink and catch and you caught it somehow and then you got healed of it and you're completely free, you got, okay, you're free, you have no more virus, you have nothing else. It's kind of like me when I went through hepatitis C and because I stuck stupid needles in my arms when I was stupid. You have to be stupid to stick needles in your arm. So in my days of stupid, I did that. And so in that, through sticking those needles, I was infected with a virus. But then I went through treatment and they said, hey, your viral load is zero. You're free. So 8 years now, I'm completely free. So it'd be like somebody, hey, remember you did that? Hey, remember you did that? And the Lord, hey, don't you do that again. Are you stupid? Inject yourself again and do that. And that's what the devil tries to do. He wants you to re-inject yourself. He wants you to receive condemnation from the past. He wants you to take that guilt back up. No, I am free. The Lord took it. He nailed it to the cross. I'm not picking it up. I'm not putting it back on. I'm not walking in the shame. I'm not walking in the guilt. Amen. I'm going to live free. Hallelujah. There's nothing you can name, blame, or claim as an excuse for failure and pain in your life that was not nailed to the cross. Come on, some of us. We live in a world that makes us victims. But we serve a God that makes us victorious. The world wants you to be a victim. Well, I'm this way because. Well, yeah, things happen to you. I'm sorry. Things happen to me. And so I'm sorry. And deal with that. But something else happened to me. It's called Calvary. And it set me free. So I'm not out to try to find something that I can name, blame, or claim as an excuse to remain a failure. I want to keep looking at the cross and to claim I am victorious. I am more than a conqueror. Somebody ought to shout amen. So it doesn't matter. But listen to me this morning. It doesn't matter if he did it, she did it, they did it, life did it, or you did it. It doesn't matter if it was done to you or by you. It was all nailed to the cross. I know Christians who live in the shame of their past instead of the victory of their future. Some of you in this building, you wrestle with this, and you go, and the devil waves it back at you, and you tend to, yeah, I was stupid. Yeah, no, I don't care. God is not looking. Come on, the Bible says as far as the east is from the west. That's why I love the encounter when we go there, and we take all that stuff, and we burn it all up, and it's in the trash can there. I said, okay, now if you can get your paper out and find your stuff, you can claim it again. But you get in all the out, you can't even put it together. It just dissipates. And then if you lift it up in the wind, it gets blown away. Oh, wait. No. But sometimes we do that because, listen, we find out that I can get pain and I can get sympathy. I don't want sympathy when I can have victory. I don't want pity when I can have victory. Come on. I want to know what is mine. Are you with me this morning? Hear me. It doesn't matter if it was a parent, a friend, a relative, a boss, a co-worker, a teacher, or a preacher, or a perfect stranger. It was all nailed to the cross. All of our pain can be connected to a person, but so can our healing. You trace it back everywhere. Somebody, because we're with people, and this is what the devil does. He goes, look, that person hurt you. I know that, but that person saved me. That person betrayed you, but that person didn't. And he never will. And so it doesn't matter. And so I can make myself vulnerable. I can live vulnerable with people. I don't have to protect, because the devil comes back and says, hey, if you're not careful, people will put this on you again. People will hear about it. And so he says, you better stay away from people. You better not connect. I don't care, because no matter what anybody does, there's an unending power that flows from this place. This blood never stops flowing, and I can still love them, because I'm no longer loving out of my ability. I'm loving out of his power. The power of grace is upon me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Let me ask you this. What pain in your life has blinded your eyes to the love of the cross? If the worship team will come back. What pain in your life has blinded your eyes to the love of the cross? The cross is God's love sign to the world. It's the declaration of the death of death. Think about that. God declares, this is the death of death. Jesus said, he that believes in me will never die. I die in him. And though this body perishes, this body is not my life. How many have ever been to a funeral where there was a casket? I mean, it's in there, and they come, and you go to the viewing, and you look inside, and there's the person, but you're standing there looking at the body, and people are saying, they're gone. If they're there in the box, how can they be gone? No, they're there. No, they're gone. How many know that sounds a little schizoid? In the natural, you're okay there, so that means that what we see of you isn't the real you. This is what you're driving. This is your car. I actually, these days, have started using high mileage oil in my vehicle. Amen. So as we get older, we do maintenance to keep it running, you know. Glory to God. Amen. But this is just the container of the real you. You're in here, but this isn't you. And so if this lays down, you're alive forevermore. You're alive. The real you is that's the power of the cross. Jesus came and said, hey, I'm coming that men might be with me. Though this body, Paul said, though the outward man perishes. Listen to what Paul said. Though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. I might be getting old on the outside, but I'm a kid on the inside. Hallelujah. People say, why are you so squirrely? Because I choose to live from the inside out. Amen. Come on. I'm like a millisecond old in eternity. I don't know how long eternity is, but I'm like, I've just begun. Amen. Are you listening to me? Some of us get old, and not only do we get old outside, we get old inside. Don't get old inside. Live out of your new man. There's a new man as a newborn. The moment you got saved, you became a newborn babe. Act like a kid from the inside out. Okay, be an old fart, I don't care. Amen. Watch it. What pain in your life has blinded you to the love of the cross? The cross is God's love sign. John 3 declares this, that Jesus came that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Inside, the declaration of the cross is that inside of us is everlasting life. Amen. Numbers 21, it was declared that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't it amazing that the medical symbol is the cross and the serpent being lifted up? I put it there in your outline. Healing is the cross defeating the serpent. Amen. As I believe, the cross gives you power over the thing that bit you, over the thing that infected you, over the thing that tried to destroy you. the cross, that symbol of healing. What do you need nailed to the cross today? I think sometimes as Christians, we miss the power of the cross instead of living by it. Living in it, living by it, victorious by it. Paul said, all I know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The only thing I have to declare is the power of His cross. The cross to the world, he said, is foolishness. Let me ask you this. What has the enemy used against you to blind the eyes of your heart to the love of God? The God of this world having blinded their minds. When people can't receive God's love, it's because the enemy has thrown a blanket over your heart, caused you to live blind. He doesn't want you to find the power of God's love. It's my prayer today that you just get mad at the right person, the devil. Not the other person, not the people in your life. The person who's the instigator behind it all. He's the source. Get mad at the right direction. The cross is God's healing balm for every heart of humanity. Let every weight, burden, care, failure, and injustice that you have tried to carry in your strength and might be nailed to His cross today. As you bow your heads with me this morning. Heavenly Father, by Your Spirit, You do what no man is able to do.